welcome to the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. My name is Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Rubin, across from me from the other side. Anyways, we're having some bit of a technical difficulties trying to get our for our yeah. special guest, right?
Yeah. Well, I have her online. We have Robin Mattack. She's coming back today, and she's going to talk about her her chapter in her book. She's co-authored a book called Shift Matters. And we're gonna talk to her about the book is called Your Shift Matters, and we're gonna talk to her today about how she got involved with co-authoring a book and a little bit about what the book itself is about, and get into some new information that we may not have known about Robin. Is in her chapter. Okay, so let's see if we have if our audio is working.
Should be.
Hi, can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Yay.
I was getting scared here for a second. I was like, hey, something's not going the way we're supposed to. I can see you talking, but it's like
just the mouth was moving.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, what is Your Shift Matters about?
So the subtitle is From Breakdown to Breakthrough. So basically, it's 25 authors, and we each talk about some point in our life where we had some challenge, and mm-hmm. we actually came through it to the other side. So it's a message of hope and giving some tips, tricks, perspective on what you might do for yourself in similar circumstances or just generally in life.
Yeah. Cool. So it looks like you guys had some pretty cool success with the launch of the book. I guess we have some Amazon stats here that you hit the bestseller status in an hour and 15 minutes, and you were in the top five in all three categories for your book in 3 hours and 15 minutes, and number one bestseller in one category in 7 hours and 45 minutes. And, so how many books did you guys actually sell? Wow.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to get all the details on that. And I'd also like to say that the money from the book goes to Disaster Relief Fund, so a lot of that will go... all of it goes to the Red Cross to help people who were displaced during the hurricanes and the other disasters that happened in the U.S. So I'd love to hear, once we get all the tallies, how much we actually raised for that as well. So you'll have to stay tuned to know the number of books sold and the total monies that we were able to fundraise.
Wow. So your shift in writing this book really does matter to the world.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's very cool. Very cool. And you know what? Having known you, we've known each other for almost a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing who you are and why you are, that doesn't surprise me that the proceeds would be going to something really cool like the Red Cross for disaster relief and everything. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
While we're in the launch mode, that's what was happening, and it seemed like the best of all the things that are out there, because we know that there's lots to help.
Mm-hmm. So, let's start with how did you get asked to even write co-author the book?
One of the groups I belong to, and this is the power of groups and community, mm-hmm. is I'm in the second year of a group I joined called Your Year of Miracles. And we have people from all over the globe that set our intentions for the year and what we want to manifest. And what I think is kind of interesting, a book specifically wasn't on my list of what I wanted to manifest, though I did want to reach people and help them in their healing journey. And so this is what came forward, as asked to be part of it through some of the other people in my group that got involved and reached out to meet me to see that if I would be interested or not.
Wow. Well, you know, it's funny. We haven't talked a lot about manifesting between the two of us, but it's kind of weird how things you want to reach a bunch of people and how the universe decides how it's going to hand it to you.
Exactly. You know? It's that place where we learn to surrender to our higher power, to source, whatever you want to call it, the universe, the love principles of the universe. Mm-hmm. And it's, we don't know what's best for us because the universe may have even bigger plans than we realize.
Yeah.
I did get that sense that there would be something where we could reach out to really reach people throughout the globe. And this is what came up.
So, yeah. A book is a really cool way to actually reach a bunch of people. So, yeah. I tell a lot of people, is like, go ahead, write the book. It's like, structuring it in itself gets you in the right mindset to actually get in front of a lot of people. So,
mm-hmm.
So there's some new information that I did not know about you in your chapter. So,
well, it's always fun to surprise you.
Yes. It's like you're always full of surprises, and you're such a wonderful person on top of all those surprises. So it says something about I'm just going to read this. My world came crashing down in the year 2000 at the age of 44. That's got to be a misprint because you have to be way younger than that. No, but seriously, no. You were diagnosed. It says I was diagnosed with early stage breast cancer, and I was considered young to be diagnosed. I was in shock, as were my friends and family. I was the healthy one. Wow. I ate well, exercise, was a non-smoker, and my weight was normal. I felt like a zombie. I was walking around going through the motions. I was numb and had to check out. Wow. So, okay, let's go back to the doctor's office.
Yeah.
That was a, oh my God.
Yeah. And I think part of the frustration and shock for me was we had been watching the mammogram, mm-hmm. and there had been what they figured was calcification. So about a year prior, they suggested a follow-up in about 6 months. And my doctor said, well, let's do it in 3 months. And then again in 3 months, let's do it again. So then we went to the needle biopsy to actually mm-hmm. figure out what was happening with the cells, which was a real challenge because of where it was situated. So it was a really challenging appointment and took hours. And all the way along, everyone kept saying, oh, it's calcification, no problem, don't worry about it. And then I get a call on a Friday at work from my doctor's office saying, come into the office. And I said, well, I'm kind of busy. Can I come next week? No, you need to come today. And it's like, And I hadn't even put the two together. I had remembered that I had a bone scan because mm-hmm. of a family history of osteoporosis. So I thought, oh, maybe it's something with that. So I thought, okay, I'll go in. And then she told me, and it was like, really? So that was part of the shock, that all the way along I was being set up for, no, it's not cancer, like, don't worry about it. So it wasn't even in my frame of reference.
Wow. I've interviewed a few people when they've talked about the diagnosis, and they all said, they all have a common thread. They said the room just all of a sudden shrank, and everybody else's voices just went fuzzy.
Yeah, it's because our brain, when we're presented with that information, we go into survival mode. So it's like looking at the world through blinders. So all we can do is kind of deal with what's right in front of us. Mm-hmm. It's the same as when we're going through grief of any type. It's like, and I recently went through that with the loss of someone I love dearly. And it was like, I couldn't think about anything else. So it's just the basic functions and that was it. And yeah. That's all I could do in the moment.
Yeah. So you'd love to ask what was going through your mind, but is like, oh, is how do I survive next, right?
Yeah, it was really like, oh, what's next? And it's like, actually, information that I've been getting about 6 months prior made sense. Mm-hmm. I was really coming into part of that intuitiveness and connecting to my spirit as this was leading up to the situation. And I kept hearing thoughts in my head. It's like something big in your life is going to change. And then things would happen. And it's like, no, that's not big enough. And this went on for 6 months until the diagnosis. And that's when it's like, oh, this is what you were being told about. Wow. And then that messaging that I was getting suddenly made sense.
Mm-hmm. So,
and I knew this was a pivot point for my life, that things wouldn't be the same after that.
So, well, okay. So before the diagnosis, what was going on?
Well, it was just before my birthday, and I had gone actually over to Hollyhock, which is an amazing educational place over on a small island off Vancouver here. Mm-hmm. And I did holotropic breath work, and it's some interesting personal development work. And I went through this process, and I'd never done it before. And I was getting amazing information and connection with my body and my spirit. And people were actually mad at me. They'd been coming for years and not getting information. And they kept saying, oh, you can't get much information in the first time. And I was just so open to it that I was getting all this information and really connecting with myself. And that's where it kind of was kind of part of the pivot point. But I was in this transition phase. And I'd been doing a lot for everyone else. I was working full time. I was doing union work. I was on my strata council. And I really wasn't paying any attention to myself. Mm. And this was my wake up call to go to that place where, yeah, when are you going to be important? You've lived your life up until now, not really being in your body, not being in your feelings. You've numbed out all of the trauma from the past. And you're just doing for everyone else so that you don't have to deal with what's going on for yourself. And this was that point where it's like, you have to make a choice. Are you going to continue down this road and maybe leave the planet? Or are you going to actually listen to these messages and do something about it?
So you listened.
I did.
And I'm glad you listened.
Somebody should be listening.
It is kind of amazing how life just says, slaps you across the head and says, hey, are you listening to me now? It's like, you know, I've been waiting with this message for X amount of time, and you haven't been listening to me, and I've been trying to tell you, now are you listening? As it like thumps you right between the middle of the eyeballs, right?
Yeah, we're on the slow learner's plane, and, you know, it's until, and that's the last place it's going to hit us. So if we're not listening in our other etherics or emotional or spiritual or mental, mm-hmm. then it's going to hit our physicality. And, you know, that's kind of the last place before you leave.
You know, somebody else has said that also, that I recently did an interview with that it probably started with an emotion that the the illness started with an emotion and had worked its way up through the mental and everything, and you just weren't paying attention to it until it slapped you with the physical.
Yeah, that's true. And that's true for a lot of us. And that's really why I love the work I do, because I don't want people to get to that point. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go through that trauma or that deep experience in order to become aware and kind of wake ourselves up.
Right. So, some other things that, because we're talking about cancer, with you specifically, that depending on what it is, what the illness is, it depends on what the emotion originally was too. So.
Yeah, and there's different components. I know for myself, I didn't get any nurturing. You know, the mm-hmm. breast is all about nurturing.
Right.
And did I grow up with that? No. Did I learn to do it for myself? No, I didn't have any real role models. I had a little bit later on in life, but that was not till I was 15. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in those formative years where our brain patterning and our responses are being learned, there wasn't that ability to how to calm myself, nurture myself, all of those things that we do need to survive.
Right. So, anyway, it says that after you, of course, were diagnosed, that I'll just read this. Decisions were made quickly. The options were to take off the breasts or remove tissue and do radiation. I didn't feel like that was much of a choice, so I went with option two, and I kept going without really questioning anything. There didn't seem to be any time for that. So, so you opted for, I guess, to have like a lumpectomy or something like
yeah.
that?
They're yeah. calling it partial mastectomies now from a technical perspective. So basically, because they said the centimeter, it was in situ, so in the duct. Mm-hmm. And so they said, well, let's start with that. And it's like, okay. And because the first surgery, there wasn't a huge amount of tissue taken out. The problem was that the margins weren't clear after the first surgery, so they had to go back in. And my surgeon was leaving for a research project he was doing. And so I had to do the surgery within 2 weeks of the first one. So I didn't really have time for the healing or to really think about what would be next and would that be the best option.
Okay, so let's get back to, because I know there's a bunch of emotions that bubbled up with that, with surgery and all this sort of stuff and diagnosis. So let's get back to the emotions after. Kelly, you're taking us to a break?
Yeah, we're taking a break here.
Okay.
This is the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. We're on 3 stations and maybe the 4th one on Program Exchange. We'll be back in a moment. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day.
An enabled FM chip in your smartphone can make the difference in an emergency situation by allowing you to still hear critical updates. It will also let you listen to the local FM station using 3 times less battery and 20 times less data than streaming. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
We're back on the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. I'm, of course, Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Rubin Cloggs. And you're also our co-host of the show. And you do a 3-minute segments on
yeah,
Facebook.
Yeah, I do 3-minute segments out there. It's all about... people come to me, they're talking about their business, their cause and everything, and I tell them that they have to learn to be bigger than what their business or cause is.
Right.
And people weren't exactly listening to me, but then again, I wasn't putting the example out there, so
yes,
I had to do something to say, hey, look, this is what you need to do. So lead by example, right?
Feels like the sports of doing a 3-minute drill.
Yeah. So speaking of Facebook, we have with us via Facebook Messenger, our one of our favorite friends, Robin Mittack, and we're talking about her chapter in the book, Your Shift Matters. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Make sure I didn't say it the wrong way.
Right.
So when we went to the break, I said we get back to the emotions that were going on behind, okay, what was the next step? You've been diagnosed. Now they're preparing you for surgery and radiation treatment, right?
Yes, correct.
So what was going on emotionally?
So I really was numbed out at that point. Mm-hmm. And because things were happening so fast, it was like surgery, 2 weeks later, another surgery. And then what happened, there was an error. I'd gone in and my surgeon was away. So there was a locum and I asked for a copy of the report. And I take it home and I read it and it says the margins aren't clear. And I was just like crestfallen and it was like, what? I have to go through another surgery? What's going to happen next? And so I'm in all this turmoil, and it's finally dawned on me, call the office. I called the office. It turned out it was the wrong report. They sent me the correct report, and the margins were clear.
Oh, okay.
So I only had the 2 surgeries initially, mm-hmm. and then I was asking what was going to go on next. And I had a really hard time being around other people. I did kind of force myself to get out and join my work colleagues for a Christmas lunch. And yeah, I was just so checked out. I was really not functioning. I would be sitting alone at home with no sound, no radio, no TV. And then you didn't have quite the same fast internet.
Right.
So I was doing a lot of research as far as I could. The Canadian Cancer Society here in Vancouver has a great library and great librarians that will really help you with research and information that you need. And so, yeah, quickly, right into the new year, I started the radiation. And that was a routine that, again, I was just going through the motions. I really checked out there too. I had to go in and set up the tattoos so they knew where to put the beam for the radiation. I treated it as a bit of a game because you had to lie on the table and be lined up exactly so they could do the treatment. So I basically just did that. You know, it's like something to occupy my mind so I didn't have to think about what the radiation was doing to the rest of me. And as that went on, I just became more and more fatigued. The radiation was very cumulative as far as the ability to even just sit up. Like my body would be saying, no, you can't even just sit here. You need to lay down. Mm-hmm. And that's when I really started to understand. I had to listen to my body and see what it needed. And that was kind of the beginning of starting to go inside and actually look at what had happened in the past. From a psychology term, we talk about dissociation, and it's mm-hmm. like just checking out so that we're not really dealing with what's there. And that's what happens a lot with trauma. So it's like working through that so we can kind of get back to who we are and start to actually go inside. So that was going on for me.
Yeah. I do know a little bit about dissociation from being a rescue worker, that you had to dissociate yourself from the scene in order to move forward and help people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the crash and burn afterwards that kind of starts to get you too. So did you hit that crash and burn, or did you stay kind of numb and checked out through the whole process?
I actually, until the radiation was finished, I basically had checked out, and that's when I really started the healing part, was mm-hmm. after the radiation. And I could feel that I was kind of in this limbo stage. Here I am, I'm finished treatment, and this happens a lot to people because they have all the support and people and places and things around you while you're going through treatment. All of a sudden it's over and everyone kind of dissipates. So yeah. It's like, what do I do now? It's like, I don't feel the same. And we actually have a term for it called your new normal. So how do I now live with this experience of cancer? And what's next? I'm not feeling like I'm ready to go back to work from an emotional or physical perspective. And, you know, I'm being asked, when are you going to start thinking about that? And so you're feeling that pressure. And so what was amazing that came through for me was I started to do some work through the cancer agency as far as the relaxation groups, because I was so tightly wound up. I was in that stress mode and mm-hmm. I didn't know how to relax. And certainly, you know, from my work and all the other things I was doing, I didn't know how to relax. So this was a process to learn to do that. And we had amazing healing touch, and we had a music therapist and all sorts of great resources.
Okay, wait a second. What happened to our audio? Oh, there you go again.
There we go.
All right. We missed part of that with the music therapy.
Okay. I was talking about all the fabulous resources. I don't think they have quite the same resources anymore, but certainly some of them are there at the Canadian Cancer Society. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I saw there, another one of those divine interventions, was a brochure for the Kalanish Society. And this is a group that does retreats for people living with cancer. And again, it was one of those things where I had to make a quick decision. I put my name forward and they had a cancellation. So I had like 2 hours to decide, are you going to come to this retreat? And that one was over in Quadra Island. It's the only one that they've actually had there.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. I was starting to listen to my spirit, and it's like, yes, this is for me. Mm-hmm. And it was just a wonderful week of being nurtured, cared for, being in a circle, being listened to. We did Tai Chi. We were fed well. We had time with the counselor. We had time with the physician to ask questions. We were in just this beautiful community. And it's based on Common Wheel that came out of California. Okay. And it's a beautiful process.
So at this point, you're waiting to hear if the cancer was completely gone, right?
So what happened after dealing with the radiation, they had recommended tamoxifen, mm-hmm. which is basically a daily mini chemo to prevent the cancer from returning. And usually it's based on being estrogen positive. And they usually recommend a 5-year usage of that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's a challenging medication because it brings up menopause from a chemical perspective. So it's like, okay, you're going to go through menopause chemically, and then once that's over, you have to go through it again.
Oh, wow. Lovely.
So lovely. So I just was really emotional. There was like immediate weight gain. I was having trouble sleeping. There was excessive sweating,
yeah.
All of that.
So you're now at this retreat situation. And how much of the meditations and the Tai Chi? I know Tai Chi is really cool because it's motion and you're putting your body in motion, so it helps the mind and all that sort of stuff. So how much did that really help you with what you need to do to move forward with your life?
Well, all of it together really worked because it brought a lot of clarity to me. And I knew that I couldn't necessarily go back to how I was, and that I needed to find that new way of being. And it was really interesting because in our group we had a lot of very ill women. It's not restricted to women, but our group was a group of women. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those women aren't around anymore. They did actually die. And so just being, but we had so much fun and we laughed and we cried and we were just really ourselves. So really that was the power of it, is just being who you are in the moment and expressing whatever you wanted to express and having a safe containment to do that. Mm-hmm. And so when I came back, I started to look at reviewing everything in my life, really. My relationships, how I was spending my time, what I wanted to do for work, and things would just come out of my mouth. So I had lunch with a colleague from the union, and she was saying, oh, you know, we really would like you to run for union president. We haven't had a woman president yet, and people respect you, and you would be good in the position. And out of my mouth came, no, I'm going to be a healer. And, you know, I was just as shocked as she was when I said that. It's like, who, me?
So that 95% of your subconscious would started speaking for you.
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was, but it was like, okay, I don't know how this is going to work or what that actually means. And, you know, there was that initial almost embarrassment. And then it was like, yeah, just trust it. You know, you haven't been able to trust in your life. Maybe it's time you started to do that.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing how wonderful trust is.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bit of a recent lesson in trust myself, just a few days ago, that going through an event and the facilitator said, "No, Michael, it's perfect. Just do it." And I had to trust him, right? And it's like, and I was like, oh, yeah, trust, yeah. It's not hard to do. It's not hard to trust, is it?
Well, it depends how you're looking at it, because often when we grow up where we weren't able to trust ourselves, or we were told we were wrong in how we were feeling, mm-hmm. or what we were thinking, like think of a child, you know, they're crying or carrying on, and we say, don't do that. Don't cry. You don't feel that way. And we train them out of trusting what they're feeling.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it can be a leap of faith to say, yeah, I'm going to trust again. And really the external is just a reflection of the internal. So it really starts with the self, and it's like, can I trust myself? Because right. we take it on and stuff happens to us, and it's like, well, I didn't listen to myself. I didn't trust myself, because we get those niggling feelings and we kind of discount them. You know, it happens mm-hmm. a lot in relationships, right? It's like, is that person really good for me? We have that kind of indication, but we want to be with someone, so we kind of override it.
Right. Yeah, do you think that oh well, I'll never be loved again, so
I have to take what's given to me.
Right. So
yeah, and the thing is that once we can start to do that and actually trust how we feel, and really that's it, right? We go into the head, and I know that's a big lesson for me, because I can be very much in the mind and in the intellect, because that's how I survived and got through. It's a whole new level to actually feel into your body and find that trust. And I don't think people understand enough about that trust can be physical.
Right.
So actually feeling not just in your gut, but your whole body. You know, we mm-hmm. get true shivers. We have different ways where we do know the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember this growing up. It's like, no, just suck it in. You can't feel that way. You, and I don't know. Maybe you can answer this. Why do we do that?
It's our own safety mechanism, and also parents. I mean, we don't have a lot of courses on parenting, and what happens under times of stress, we just go back to the familiar and how we were raised. Mm-hmm. So unless we do some very conscious training around shifting that, we're always going to go back to what's familiar because we have the patterning in our brain. Right. So we just automatically go, like, how many times do you hear parents saying, "Oh, I said I'd never do that with my children, and here I am doing it."
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I've said it, you know. I said I would never. Oh, damn, I sound like my mom again, right?
Yeah. And the thing is, there is, it's kind of like, of course we have their DNA, mm-hmm. and we have that memory. We have the learning. So it's like, going back to that kindness and gentleness for ourselves. And once you have the awareness, say, yeah, I am. What do I like about it? So what can I keep and what can I change? Because now I'm an adult and I can change it. And once you start questioning things, the responses change quicker and quicker so that you're not going into that patterning that you no longer want.
Right. Yeah, because we can, we do have the ability to pick and choose, you know, what we want out of the pattern and what we decide we should let go.
Yeah, and it was there for some reason. So remembering that it was either survival or something, some fear, something that was coming up, where for the child's mind, it was brilliant. But now you don't need it.
Kelly's sending me the signal for, I guess, the next break.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kelly, and we'll be back with Robin. We'll talk more about Your Shift Matters.
So your guest is Robin Mc...
Robin Mitak.
And she is?
And she, in this case, she is the co-author of Your Shift Matters.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a moment here on the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Networks. We'll be back. The Community Living Show is stories for the people with disabilities, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and many other issues, along with accessibility issues. If you want to participate and are a member of any of the NCRA radio stations, including this station that you're listening to in the area, or if you have any story idea and want to become involved in the technician personnel, please email us. Our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. No experience necessary. People with disability or non-disability are welcome to the show.
Open Media International is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization working towards informed, citizen-driven internet policy. Open Media believes in keeping the internet uncensored, open, innovative, secure, and providing universal access to fast and affordable networks. If you would like Open Media to keep campaigning for citizens and internet policy, you can donate to them at openmedia.org or openmedia.ca. You can also find them on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Google+.
This is the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks, the NCRA Radio Networks. My name is Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Rubin Cloggs. And we're talking to Robin McTague, who is the co-author of Your Shift Matters. Continue on.
I'm trying to find... Okay, here it is. I've gone always to, like, towards the end of the chapter, and then Robin can comment on in this. I guess we're in our last segment, right?
We are.
Yeah, you can comment about how life moves forward. But let me read this. Being vulnerable is your strength. Get help when you need it. Talk to someone. We can become caught up in our own story, and someone who can see us outside of the frame. Know that it is not always family. peer support is one of many ways you can talk to someone who has been there. So that's all at the towards the end of the chapter, and that sounds like really cool advice in there also, you know, talk to somebody. So we've talked about how endless sometimes it's stuff that's the emotions that get caught up and we're not paying attention to the emotions and we're not releasing things that we need to release. So, and it sounds like that's part of that paragraph, right?
Right. Yeah. So what happens is that we need to find a safe place to express that. And often what I find, and I know for myself it's true, is that once I start the dialogue, then I can go deeper. Mm-hmm. So it gives me that perspective and gives that sounding board. And especially for those who are very auditory. Mm-hmm. You know, for some people, the writing is good. And then the next step is to talk to someone else too, because we can go back into that loop. So for example, for myself, when I finished treatment, my doctor said, oh, you should do peer support. You know, you've done so much research and you know a lot about this stuff. And so you have to wait a year till you're finished treatment because you need to take care of yourself first and work through all of the feelings and stuff once you finish treatment. So then you can do the peer support. And just that ability to talk to someone outside of the family and express stuff that you can't say to them. So especially a mother, so they might have a partner, they might have children, and they don't want to feel like they're burdening them with this information.
Right.
They're having their own challenges just being around this person and being worried about them, and to add more would be too much. Mm-hmm. And so by having someone who's been there, done that, it gives them hope, number one. And number two, someone who actually can understand what they're going through. So there's that common bond and ability to say, yeah, I felt scared too. Or, yeah, that was really puzzling. Like, I wondered why I felt that way. Or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So it gives some perspective. And we're all different. So all we can do is talk about our own experience. But it's great to say, yeah, it was difficult. I went back to work and my brain was not working. I could not believe how I couldn't remember how to do my job. And I thought, is this the end of my career? What am I going to do? And it came back over time.
Yeah.
And to be able to talk to someone who has gone back and done it, then you see that it is possible.
Right.
And so it's that whole process of being able to express your feelings, get through the doubts and the fears, and actually see there's hope to get through the other side. And so that's something we all need.
Yeah. Okay. Hope, isn't that part of mentoring? It's like you're providing that. When I look for a mentor, I look for someone that says, yeah, there is a path. And that path, it includes the hope that I can get there.
Yes. Yeah. We look up to other people who have come from places maybe similar to us or from a situation mm-hmm. that it didn't look like they would be able to get where they are, and they have. And yes, definitely that would be the type of person I'd want to have as a mentor rather than someone who maybe didn't have any life experiences.
Right.
And it was like, okay, I learned this in a book and I applied this. And yes, I did make lots of money or whatever they see as success for them. Mm-hmm. At the same time, maybe they can't explain it or express it in a way that you can really understand coming from where you are coming from because of challenges that you have that they haven't right. had, the struggles and the challenges. And that's what makes us all unique and helps us to add more value and more depth to what we're doing.
Yeah, and when you're doing something that's helping others, is like that depth is actually needed to help the other person stay on track, to help them keep moving forward, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's easy to get stuck, right? We all get stuck in different ways in different parts of our life, and it's like, how do you get unstuck? And that's one of the ways is the talking and having the mentors, colleagues, friends, whatever it is, a safe place to be able to express it and to see that there's some steps that you can take.
Yeah. It's always it can be fun to be the first one to beat the path, but
but
some paths are just better when you're going through it with somebody who's already been over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The saying goes, safety in numbers, and it's true, because when you have that support, we all need support in different ways. And I know that has been one of my challenges in my life, along with the nurturing, is how do I feel supported? Mm-hmm. It's great to be independent. At the same time, we can get to that point where it's like, I need help. Like, for example, creating a business. If I didn't have the support to do that, I'd still be floundering. I wouldn't be moving forward, because that's not something that I've learned. I don't have family and friends that are necessarily doing that. So, you know, I have different places that I can go for that support.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have different skills and abilities, and it's great when we find the match that helps us in whatever, whether it's mental, emotional, spiritual, physical. You know, we have coaches for almost everything now.
Yeah, yeah. There is a coach for just about everything, which it's probably a really good thing, though, isn't it?
I think so. I think that we need to look at that over time, though, that we don't get stuck doing the same thing, because we grow at different speeds.
Mm-hmm.
So who you need right now, for example, with the peer support, I might need that for a bit while I'm going through treatment. Mm-hmm. Then I, you know, call back and talk to someone from the new normal, because I'm returning to work. And then maybe I've decided to go off on my own path, like I have with the healing work. So now I need someone else that can help me more from a business perspective. And maybe I need, like, I continue to do work every year with my training and power community to learn more about leadership, to increase my vibration and enhance my skills. Even though I'm teaching the work, I'm still improving.
You know, there's
no end to the education and the improvement that we can have in our life.
Yeah, I know you're in, that's kind of how we found each other to begin with, is you're a very successful coach and successful healer. And you, I know you have workshops and things around Richmond, BC. And matter of fact, because I've attended a couple of them, had a wonderful time, by the way, too. So, you know, you're a wonderful person to work with. So since we're on the other side of the diagnosis and the treatment, it's like, what is there one thing that you can say that's really brought you a lot of success?
Well, what happened for me, because when I went back to work, I felt challenged being around people. I'd actually gone to that place of that vulnerable inner core and started to deal with the trauma from the past and wanting to reconnect and nurture myself. And again, divine intervention, met a woman at a wine and cheese and tarot card reading party of all places. And said, I've done this training where you get energy shields, so you're not taking on other people's negativity and you can be around people again. And same thing, I was in class the next Tuesday, and that helped me to be present with the energy shields. It helped me, and the grounding system, it helped me to be around people again and feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful manifestation tool. So I manifested a new job that I wanted within like a month. And that was my start of my healing journey and the spiritual work with the Training and Power community that I teach now. And that has branched off into the other things and bringing in the other pieces like the psychology and the conflict resolution and all of those pieces. So it all kind of came together.
Cool. So how do we get the book? I know it's on Amazon. How else can we get it?
Currently, it's on Amazon.com. And after the end of the month, there will be the ability for me to actually purchase books myself. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have some here in Canada. I'm not sure of the date yet when it will be on Amazon.ca. And the reason that is we're allowing up to the end of the month where people can get the bonuses. Right. So if you do purchase it on Amazon.com, there's the option of 19 different bonuses that you can pick. You can pick one or as many as you'd like. And myself, I wrote a meditation for that called Start Your Day with Joy.
Wow.
And other people have workbooks and journals and exercises. One has a 15-minute emotional code session. So there's tons of really great bonuses if you want to purchase it on okay. Amazon.com right now.
Okay, so we're down to about a minute here. I want to work with you in Richmond, BC. How do I find you to work with you as a coach and a healer?
MasterHolisticHealer@gmail.com.
Cool. So, as always, it's been wonderful to see you. Aiden, for our listeners out there, when you get to actually meet Robin, right, you'll love her smile. She's such a warm and inviting person, and her spirit is way bigger than her body. Okay, you have a big spirit. It's like you fill the room. It's like the other day we were at an event together, and I just could feel that you were there before I even saw you. So, so if you need coaching and healing, please contact Robin again at Master Holistic Healer.
Yes.
@gmail.com. Okay. And
that is it.
All right.
Thank you very much, Robin, for having you on our show. And thank you, Michael, as always, for having our show. Hope to see you again. Hope to hear from you next week. Do we have anything for next week's show?
I am not sure yet.
There'll be some sort of a surprise.
Yeah, it'll be some sort of surprise.
Okay.
And I know that November 18th, we'll be shooting another Balanced Living TV show.
Okay.
I'm not exactly who the guest is yet okay. for that either. So we'll have something.
Okay.
Some type of interview ready to go for next week.
Cool. Okay. And if you have any comments or questions about our show, please email us. Our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook. Facebook.com/users/CLivingRadio. We're also on Twitter. @CLivingRadio. We're on three of the major stations here on the Community Living Show. One is on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. We broadcast every Tuesday afternoons from 1 to 2 p.m. We're also on Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM and streaming online at cooperadio.org. We also broadcast there every Sunday mornings from 10 to 11 a.m. And we're also on Nanaimo and the Sunshine Coast on CHLY 101.7 FM, and we're streaming online at chly.ca. Please check your local listings for updates on the upcoming Community Living Show. We're also on the National Campus Radio Association Program Exchange at previous.ncra.ca. Thank you very much, and we'll see you all again next week. Take care, everybody.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye.
I want a drug culture machine. It's not available. If you try it once, you will die. Your face will melt off. And your children will weep over your toilet body. Over your toilet body.
You love to party.
What's not to love? The rod I was on made dagger. And that you look like droopy-eyed armless children. That's how I party. That's how I party. I was banging 7 gram rocks. That's how I roll. Winning. I have one gear. Go. Epic. Winning.
Are you bipolar?
I'm bi. Winning. Win here. Win there. Win. Everywhere. Where? Absolute victory. Everywhere. Where? I'm on a quest.
We're gonna win everywhere.
Right every single wrong.
Right every wrong.
I'm a total freaking rock star from Mars.
Winning. Come on, bro.
I got taco blood.
Winning.
Bottle my brains and feel like, dude, can't handle it.
Went there,
went everywhere.
I've got a list, help me sort this. From the epic win to the desperate that win this. Chicken nugget,
winning.
Bubblegum,
winning.
Pretending to text to avoid someone.
Epic winning.
Slow dancing,
winning.
Slow pants,
winning.
Breaking the rules of the Geneva Convention.
Weak.
Adonis blood,
winning.
Violent love,
winning.
Giving needed women caresses and hugs.
Epic winning.
Childbirth,
winning.
Calling birth,
winning.
Take your weakest verse.
Duh.
Winning, winning.
I was banging 7 gram rocks. That's how I roll.
Winning.
I have one gear. Go. Epic.
Winning.
Are you bipolar?
I'm bi.
Winning.
Went there.
Went everywhere.
I'm a total freaking rock star from Mars.
Winning. Come on, bro.
I got taco blood.
Winning.
You bottle my brain and feel like, dude, can't handle it.
Went there.
Went everywhere.
Where?